Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Welcome into the January 31st edition of NBA Takeaways, right here on NBA Sound System, and of course, courtesy of our friends over at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's up, guys? Welcome in, and thank you for checking us out. I am Chris Welsh. Find me on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh. That's the handle. We get all the stuff going on, talking NBA across the board on the final day of January, where February is going to be where it's all at. We got the NBA trade deadline about a week away. We've got the All-Star game coming up, and we've got some drama. We got some drama going on. How about Anthony Davis? I know I talked about it. Bogman's talked about it because the trade, the trade request stuff, it's looming. Lots of initial stuff in the first 24 hours that we got. Here's a nice, another little wrinkle that was going on. Anthony Davis removed from the image in the New Orleans Pelicans roster of their hype video. So where's our takeaway here? Anthony Davis taken out of the hype video they do pregame. Well, we had Alvin Gentry talk to Davis, and we got kind of a confirmation across the board from Rich Paul and all of them that here's the deal. He wants to be traded. He's not going to re-sign a contract with anybody but the Lakers at this point, but he'll play out. Like you said, he'll play out, and Gentry said he's going to do his thing. So there's bad blood. You know, the Pelicans are obvious. They've got to be angry because they literally have lost every bit of leverage. At this point, it's just like Anthony Davis's talents, which, I mean, that should hold enough of its own, but they just don't have leverage to go out there anymore because he won't re-sign with any team, which limits value. And it's going to have to be the Lakers that are going to be the ones that step up, and they're going to have to be the ones that are going to give the package out to them. Now, you know, I was talking with Scott Bogman on our other show over at In This League about kind of this exact thing. And at the end of the day, my problem and why this just makes too much sense for the Lakers is, okay, let's say they don't want to be aggressive right now. They don't want to move any pieces, or at least the pieces that are being asked about, which, you know, conflicting stuff. Is it really Ball, Kuzma, and Zubac? Does Brandon Ingram have to be involved in that? Lonzo Ball wants a third team involved. Whatever. Let's say they don't want to get involved in that right now. It's not going to change when the offseason comes. There's no way it's going to... The Pelicans own him for another year. So they're not going to say, yeah, we don't need Kuzma now. Just Lonzo Ball will do. No, they still have the same leverage because if the Lakers don't want to pay it now, are they really going to bite for a whole nother season? Go through those they're not going to bite through a whole nother season. They want Anthony Davis for next year. I could be wrong. I don't think it changes whatsoever. So it behooves, at least in my opinion, the Lakers to just make this happen. If the sticking point at the end of the day is, let's just for argument's sake, say Brandon Ingram. Pelicans say they want Brandon Ingram, Lakers say not happening, and that's never going to change. Okay, I get your point. But if you've kind of resigned yourself to it's going to cost Kuzma, Ball, and Zubac and a pick or something, and that's worthwhile, but we want to push leverage, all you do is you push this until the trade deadline and see if you can get the Pelicans to blink, you know, play a little bit of chicken. See if you can get them to come down maybe off the pick. Maybe you don't want, you're going to have to give up Ball, and you're going to have to give up, I imagine, Kuzma, but maybe they could get off of Kuzma and it's a Ball, Zubac, and a pick, and the third team involved helps out a little bit more. Those are all options, and that's the game that the Lakers can play. But this is why I'm the one that's sitting here saying that I think he is going to be traded. He's going to be traded by the trade deadline. I don't know if it happens a couple days before, and stuff like this hype video, they don't help the cause whatsoever. As Davis was absent through almost the entirety of the team's pregame hype video prior to tip-off, and he was removed from an image of the entire Pelicans roster with the motto, "Do it big," after the conclusion of the video. Asked about it, Alvin Gentry said, "I've never seen that video." This is after the game. "I haven't really. I'm not avoiding anything, but I couldn't tell you who's on it and who's not. A leaked source told ESPN that Davis's removal from the video, quote, was an intentional decision the Pelicans made in an effort to prevent negativity against Davis. Okay. They said, quote, putting his image on the big screen could just have encouraged booing. Davis is still on the roster. He's got the finger fracture. And he sat, as they were saying, this is in this article, sat inconspicuously on the end of the bench during the first three quarters, joining in on timeout huddles and cheering on with his teammates. And it's an odd situation. A reporter pointed out to Gentry that Davis wasn't on the bench during the fourth quarter, but Gentry was unfazed, saying he's right here in the locker room. When I walked in, he was in the locker room. And that's the other thing. I don't look down at the bench and see who's on the bench and who's not. So it's getting weird. It's not good for Davis. It's not good for the team. Team owner Gail Benson addressed the team pregame in the locker room, congratulating the players on beating the Rockets on Tuesday. Late in the victory, Davis was inactive in huddles, talking with Gentry and assistant coaches despite the weird situation. Gentry is saying, like, this is all business. He said it's not awkward. It's all good. They understand the business behind it. Obviously, players are affected. You know, Drew Holiday has come out and openly said, like, well, this is why I signed my contract here, because of Anthony Davis. Guy wants out. And you're not helping any. I get the logic. The logic of what they did to say, like, yeah, we took him out to get booze out and stuff. But I don't know, man. It's a pregame hype video. If you really sat down, was the juice worth the squeeze? Was it really worth avoiding some booze in a hype video to cause the stir that was obviously going to happen if you take him out of there? All it does is stoke the fire on Anthony Davis wanting to be out of town. And this makes it look, regardless of the logic of what they're saying here, this makes it look like the team is now distancing themselves from Anthony Davis. And it is one of the weirder trade deadline situations I think we're going to be looking at here, as, you know, tomorrow we are going to be February 1st. And I think it's all systems go. You know, we've had Marc Gasol trade rumors, Otto Porter trade rumors, now Anthony Davis. I actually think we might be priming up to a pretty interesting trade deadline that could have some serious firepower. Of course, you know, it could all go awry and all the things we expect don't happen. But I think, give me a couple of the days in front too. Just don't make it about the actual trade deadline day. Give me the 3 days. Give me the 5th, 6th, and 7th. I think there could be some pretty good fireworks going on around the NBA. And I think Anthony Davis is going to be centered around them. At least he hopes so. And so does his agent. And maybe an endorsement deal in the new place that could maybe pay for the fines he had and some of the comments. You know what I mean? All right. Good slate of games that went down on Wednesday, so let's look through that, and let's look through the final game here of January on the 31st. But on the 30th, let's go start with the Celtics and the Hornets. 126-94 win Celtics over the Hornets, pretty big fashion here. They were led by Jason Tatum in his 20 points. He was 9 for 15 from the field, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Marcus Morris, 15 points, 7 rebounds. Terry Rozier, still no Kyrie Irving, had 17. Al Horford, 14, 7, and 5. Still a very stuff and things player, Al Horford is. Stuff and things, a term Bogman and I lovingly use to players that just kind of do stuff across the board. You know, it's like in baseball, it'd be like a five-tool player. You know, he gets rebounds, he gets assists. Out-of-position stats is another good way to look at stuff and things. But across the board, Al Horford has just been that guy. Gordon Hayward, we always want to look at him with Boston. Scored 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 5 for 10 from the field, played 24 minutes. And Jaylen Brown, though, probably the most effective in coming off the bench. And as I'm looking here, played the most minutes of anybody in this game. Played 30 minutes off the bench, 10 for 18 from the field, scoring 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Definitely leading the Boston Celtics over the Hornets, where Kemba Walker, he did his usual, only played 27 minutes, but 9 for 12 from the field, scoring 21 points. Nicholas Batum, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Marvin Williams had 10 points and 2 rebounds. Nothing else across the board for the Hornets, as they got manhandled a bit by the Boston Celtics, who would love to get themselves involved in the Anthony Davis stuff. And frankly, They would have been one of those teams in my eyes that would just say, you know what? Not going to sign an extension. Let's just get you here and see how you feel. But unfortunately, the Rose rules prevent him being able to do that, or at least the Celtics being able to do that. Next game up, the Chicago Bulls. They beat the Miami Heat 105-109. It was in Miami. On the Bulls end, Seldon got the start as Zach LaVine was not able to get in this game. 20 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 for 10 from the field, playing 35 minutes, more than anybody in the game. Also hit 4 threes. Chris Dunn back in form, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 for 14 from the field, though. That has been an obvious issue. Lauri Markkanen, huge on the rebound front. I believe it was a career high. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, but 4 for 15 from the field. What is going on with Lauri Markkanen? Just all the, it's unfair. I don't, you put unfair stuff on some of these young guys. Like Lauri Markkanen, I feel like sky was the limit, you know, prior to his injury, of just expectations coming into this year to run away with it. And I mean, he's been solid, but he's just, you know, he hasn't lived up to the hype whatsoever. And that, the, I mean, 4 for 15, that's not what they're going to need. Bobby Portis played 24 minutes off the bench, scored 26 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 for 4 from free throw. Took the most shots in this game of any Chicago Bull coming off of the bench. On Miami's end here, Justice Winslow, who's been playing that point guard spot, played 35 minutes with 6 for 17 from the field, 14.6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. He has been solid in there. Wayne Ellington scored 13 with 4 rebounds. Josh Richardson, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And Hassan Whiteside, only 8 points and 9 rebounds with 1 block, played 15 minutes. He was 3 for 6 from the field. Off the bench, Bam Adebayo, 33 minutes, scoring 13.6 rebounds, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Tyler Johnson, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 for 12 from the field. Really bad field goal percentage across the board. The Miami Heat only shot 38% from the field, 28% free throw, and 69%, 28% three-point and 69% free throw, where the Chicago Bulls, 51 field goal, 42-3, 81 free throw. Duh. You know, hey, good percentages, correlation to wins, but just, I mean, that is a huge discrepancy between these two teams and how poor the Heat were and how much more dominant the Bulls were. All right, next up, we had the Mavericks and the Knicks. Now, there was a little bit of a interesting stuff that went down. If you're an Enes Kanter fan, by the way, the Mavericks, they beat the Knicks 114-90. But pushing aside here, Enes Kanter, he got some rare minutes. They were only 9. But as he was coming into the game, he gets down and he kissed the floor at MSG. I mean, just he is a personality. He's the personality of personalities right now. And it just it still bums me out. I know Bogman talks about Enes Kanter all the time. It just bums me out how much I like this guy on the court. I know he can be a bit of a thing. He gets in people's business. He can start some stuff. He's super passionate, but he's a great personality. I just wish the Knicks would get him out of there. What is the problem? I don't know what. Do you want to wait till the deadline? Again, it's kind of like the Lakers thing. Press for value. See if teams, if there's an injury that goes down. That's sometimes why you do this. You don't just do it to do it. See if there's an injury. See if a team is willing to pay a little bit more. There's no harm, especially if you know you got some easy suitors out there. There's no harm in doing it. So maybe we're a week away, but get this guy off there. Get him more than 9 minutes because that's all he got. He did score 5 points, 2 rebounds, and assist. 2 for 5 from the field, off the bench, of course. They have been giving those minutes kind of across the board. I mean, Lane Thompson, Vonleh, Mitchell Robinson, but off the bench, he played 24 minutes. So let's go through it here as the Knicks did lose. Tim Hardaway Jr., not a great game, played 28 minutes, only 2 for 11 from the field, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Trey Burke, 16 points, 7 for 14 in 32 minutes, the most among starters. Kevin Knox has been really solid. 17 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. And I want to take a look here. What has he been in on in the last, let's see, in January? Let's look at his stats here. In January, field goal percentage has been poor, but he's averaging, yeah, it's been actually really poor, 36%, but averaging 12 points and 4 rebounds with just over an assist. In his last 10 games, it's been about the same. Man, it feels like he's been so much better. When I look at the game log, he's had some, I mean, I guess he's always going to be a poor like a poor field goal type of guy. But yeah, I guess his last two games, he scored 19 points and 17 points. Maybe that's the feel. He had earlier in January on the 13th, he had that 31-point game. I guess I'm just gleaning off of some of those. I feel like Kevin Knox has been a lot better than he has, but he's just been riddled by poor field goal percentage. But in this game, 17 with 5 rebounds and assists and a steal. Noah Vonleh, poor game, only played 14 minutes, had 2 points and 5 rebounds. Off the bench, Mario Hezonja played 32 minutes, scoring 13 points, 2 rebounds with 2 steals. And Trier, 11 points, 4 rebounds. Mitchell Robinson, I mentioned, he got 24 minutes, only scored 4 points, but 7 rebounds and 4 blocks. Mitchell Robinson, on the other hand, as far as the blocks go, I mean, he's not getting a ton of minutes. I think in January, he's only averaging 15 minutes a game since he's been getting the push, but he's averaging 2.5 blocks a game. 2.5. I mean, it's almost more it's almost more than his rebounds. He's averaging 3.7 rebounds, 7.7 assists, and 2.5 blocks with a full steal. I mean, 15 minutes, this is going to be, just wait till next year. Like, it's like one of those per things, you know? He's like a per 36 type of guy. It's not quite Boban, but, you know, get him those minutes and he's going to roll. On the Dallas Mavericks, because they did get the win, so give them focus. Wes Matthews scored 17 points. Dennis Smith Jr., speaking of trade guys we haven't talked about, triple-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists in this game, 5 for 12 from the field. Luka Doncic, 16, 8, and 5. He was 7 for 18 from the field. Okay, I mean, those guys are working out well next to each other. Can they do more of that, or do they need to move on? Harrison Barnes scored 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And DeAndre Jordan, no free throw attempts. Always like looking at that. 3 for 3 from the field, 6 points, 9 rebounds with an assist. Off the bench, Dirk Nowitzki scored 14 points in 12 minutes. Did nothing else. Nothing. 2 for 3 threes, but no rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. Just point, shoot, Dirk Nowitzki. That's what he does. Off the rest of the bench was relatively quiet. They had one block in the entire game, by the way. It came off the bench by Kyber, but I mean, quiet enough, didn't matter. It was enough for the Mavericks to beat the Knicks 114 to 90. All right, next up here, let's go to the Oladipo list. Pacers struggling. They lost to the Wizards. Washington was at home 107 to 89. The Indiana did not score more than 25 points in a single quarter. 25, 20, 24, 20. That was your four-quarter run here. Not that the Wizards were that much better, but their first quarter was, it was dominant, 35 to 25 as far as points go. On the Pacers end, didn't do a ton in the starting role. Thad Young, he was 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 for 8 from the field. Bogdanovich, 12 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Then you had single digits across the board. I mean, Darren Collison in 25 minutes was 1 for 7, scoring 3 points. Miles Turner, he was 4 for 9, but only scored 9.6 rebounds, no blocks. And they had Sumner in there, 7 points, 5 rebounds. Now, off the bench, this is where you had some run here. Domantas Sabonis, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Baby Jokic, as I'd call him, not quite as of late, in 23 minutes. Doug McDermott scored 12 points. TJ Leaf scored 12 points. And Holiday has been solid, 10 points, 3 assists. He was only 2 for 8 from the field. And those were both threes. 21 minutes, 4 for 4 from free throw. Good to see him get some more minutes. On the Wizards end, led by Bradley Beal's 31 minutes, he scored 25 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 9 for 15 from the field. He led the way. Thomas Satoransky, only 3 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 for 2 from the field. Played 23 minutes in that starting role. Thomas Bryant, only 19 minutes, scored 6 points, 3 rebounds. Otto Porter, only 16 minutes, scoring 3 points and 4 rebounds. Trevor Ariza had 12, 2, 1, and 2 on the steals, 2 for 5 from the field. Otto Porter, another one of those guys, don't quite understand it, but really, I don't know, fallen out of favor with Washington. I mean, they moved on from Kelly Oubre, and he's relatively shined in Phoenix. They bring in Trevor Ariza, and, you know, as this team, I don't know, is their season kind of continuously dwindles away, Otto Porter really does seem like a very likely candidate to get moved. I mean, I don't know what that looks like. Is it the Wizards, you know, doing a one for one, a change of scenery? Is it them acquiring picks and maybe a lower end talent? maybe positional change. You know, I mean, you could look at a team like the Mavericks. Not that the Wizards need it, but I'm just making a point. You know, point guard for small forward. This team, I imagine they would go big, you know, power forward. I mean, center would definitely be a solid spot. If the Wizards, now here'd be something. If the Wizards still thought they were in it, I would think a Marc Gasol, Otto Porter thing might make a lot of sense. If Wizards could bring in a Marc Gasol and Otto Porter could fit, you know, I think he'd actually fit Memphis's scheme very well. I don't know if that matches up whatsoever, but just, you know, trying to read the tea leaves here and, you know, speculate on some of the trades. It's just interesting how Otto Porter falling out of favor in Washington. Such a good player. Green scored 23 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists off the bench, playing 29 minutes. That was second most to anybody outside of Bradley Beal. You had Randall scoring 13. McRae scored 12. Bench was relatively on fire as I'm looking here. As a team, though, 52% field goal, 42% three, only 61% free throw for the Wizards. Pacers, though, ultimately, I mean, from a scoring perspective, here's your problem when you lose guys like Oladipo, only 39% field goal, 29% for three, did have 77.8% free throw. So Pacers struggling, Wizards struggling, to be fair, but I mean, you know, it was the battle of the struggles and Wizards were able to prevail. Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, and I don't know how cold it is there, but I did see a video and the vortex of coldness. By the way, I feel horrible to anybody that's listening out here and you're anywhere on the East. I'm sitting here in Arizona. It was like 74 today, midday, you know, 60s as it gets a little bit colder. Maybe we'll get into a brisk 50s. It's like 100-degree, like, turn that we have where I am to you guys. I have a friend that's out in Milwaukee, works for a sports site, and I was texting with him. I said, what do you do? And he's like, I don't know. You just sit there. You kind of can't do anything when it's this cold. Things stop working. Basketball was still able to go on, and I saw a video of Karl Anthony Towns he posted. He was eating Ben and Jerry's with a sleeveless shirt. It might have been his jersey outside of Minnesota. I mean, you're just showing off. That's all that you're doing now. You're just showing off like it doesn't mess with you. I don't know how humans walk outside in that. I don't know how anyone exists, but Karl Anthony Towns is trying to let us know, hey, it's no big deal. I got Ben and Jerry's. So negative 20, there's an ad for you. I mean, maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he's smart, actually. It's all good because Ben and Jerry's has got me covered. Well, it was good enough for them to get the win. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies 99-97. Let's see. We had Karl Anthony Towns score 16 points, 10 rebounds. He was 7-for-17 from the field, 0-for-6 from three. So Ben and Jerry's not a good option before games. Jared Bayless in the game, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists in 43 minutes. This was an overtime game, obviously, by the way. I forgot to mention that. 19, 7, and 12. What a game. Andrew Wiggins, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. We had Taj Gibson have 10-5 with 4 steals. And then off the bench, you were led by Gorgui Dieng, another player requested a trade, wants to get out of there, played 22 minutes, 10 rebounds. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. On Memphis's end, Jaren Jackson was a question mark if he was going to go. He ended up doing it. Only 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3-for-7 from the field. Marc Gasol, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And Mike Conley, 26-5-8 with a couple steals. He was 11-for-20 from the field. Both of those guys playing over 40 minutes. I mean, Memphis is getting all that they can out of them before potentially both of them could be trade options, if not just Gasol. They're getting everything they can out of them. Couple more here. The Nuggets and the Pelicans. We talked about the Pelicans. We talked about them taking out of the video and everyone getting up in arms. Well, Denver Nuggets, they came into town and they made everybody forget about that video. Well, I mean, I guess they didn't. That was all the Pelicans had to talk about because they didn't win. Nuggets won 105-99. Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic. Triple-double, 20 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists with 3 steals and 2 blocks. My, oh my. That is quite a game. He was 9-for-16 from the field. Morris scored 27-7. Paul Millsap, 13-8-2. Will Barton and Gary Harris, they combined for 17 points, though. And really, if you want to combine them, they were one good player of the two of them. They combined for 17 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists with 3 steals. Jokic does that in his sleep. You only need one player. That's why he's a beast. Beasley off the bench, playing 29 minutes, scored 22 points. Very, very effective. Pelicans, they were led by Drew Holiday, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Jahlil Okafor, someone to keep an eye on as he might theoretically just be the center the rest of the way through, 14 points, 8 rebounds. Miller was 15, 6, and 5. And you had no Julius Randle in the game. They're going to need that moving forward. Probably doesn't help. Williams, 21 points, 8 rebounds off the bench in 38 minutes. So the Pelicans trying to get it done, just not enough to beat the Denver Nuggets, one of the best teams in the NBA. The Kings and the Hawks, they played a huge scoring game. Kings beat the Hawks 135 to 113. They were led by Buddy Hield, his 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 6 for 11 from the field, scoring 4 threes in the game. Bielitsa, 12 points, 8 rebounds. But the damage was done off the bench. You had Giles score 20 points with 7 rebounds. Marvin Bagley with a double-double, 17 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Yogi Ferrell had 11 points. Bogdanovich, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, the bench essentially put up all the starting numbers outside of Buddy Hield. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein, only 9-5. De'Aaron Fox, 9-4-7 in 22 minutes, but he was 4 for 10 from the field. Very, very solid Kings bench as they continue to do work. Trae Young, 23 points, 8 assists with 1 rebound, 5 turnovers, 7 for 12 from the field. Pretty solid night for Trae Young. John Collins, 14-7. He was 5 for 15 from the field, though. Continues to be a problem. Herter, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Bembry, 11-5. And off the bench, Torian Prince had 11-2. I was reading that wrong. Alex Lynn had 13 points, and Jeremy Lynn, 11-2-5. As the Hawks fall a bit short, as the Kings scored 30-plus points in every single quarter. Technically, they scored 30 in the fourth quarter, but they scored 30 or more points in every single quarter of this game. Really, really solid, dominant offensive performance. And then the last one, the Trailblazers and the Utah Jazz battled it out, and the Trailblazers won 132 to 105. I know they want to get in some of these trade talks. They've been looking at some of these big men. The Trailblazers were led by 2 30-pointers. Damian Lillard, 36 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 9 for 9 free throw, 12 for 21 from the field. CJ McCollum, 30 points, 3 rebounds, 12 for 17 from the field. Both phenomenal in this game. Aminu didn't do much, only 2 points. Leonard, 16, 6, and 4. And off the bench, Zach Collins had 12 points, 8 rebounds. Lehman, 11 points, 5 rebounds. It's one of those games, though. Like, what else do you need? Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they put up essentially half the team's points with 66 points. I think that actually, is that exactly half? Yeah, that's like half the points they put up there. And everybody else, all you got to do is just step in, clock in, and do your job. Don't worry, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum got you. Looking at the Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell scored 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Rubio, 12-2-7, but only 4 for 14 from the field, a continued problem. None of the starters played over 30 minutes. You had Rudy Gobert, 15-9-2 with a couple blocks, 7 for 9 from the field. Joe Ingles, a good Joe Ingles game, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 for 5 from the field. He was effective, 6 for 6 free throw, and Derek Favors, 12 points, 5 rebounds. Looking at the Utah Jazz, you know, they were relatively effective, 44 field goal, 32 3, and 85% free throw. But over the Trailblazers, 53% field goal, 50% 3. They were 16 for 32 from 3-point and 20 for 23 free throw for 87%. Percentage effectiveness, huge percentage scoring from both of those guards. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, there's something else. Well, we kind of blasted through all the games. There was such a big slot of games here. We barely even got to get in. We didn't get to get into what's going down on the last day of January. But you got the Mavericks and Pistons, Pacers and Magic, Bucks and Raptors, Nets, Spurs, 76ers and Warriors. There's your game of the night on TNT, and Lakers and Clippers. There you go for your Thursday, last day of January, last NBA games of January as we get into February for the trade deadline. The All-Star game is going to be going down. Make sure you're tuned here on NBA Sound System and, of course, our show, NBA Takeaways. That's the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Find me on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh. Chris Welsh, your host as always. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Talk to you then. Peace.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.